Amen. I did that song. I don't think I knew it very well. I've heard it vaguely before, but King of Kings, Lord of Lords, I worship you. Let's open with prayer. Father, I thank you for this beautiful morning. I thank you, Lord, for the sunshine, for your grace and your goodness that's carried us through another week, another night, another time to come together here to lift up your name and worship and praise. Father, I pray now as we open your word and come to this time of teaching and just open our hearts before you. Father, open our hearts before your word that we would be focused, that we would be clear and be able to understand and to see the things that you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start this morning in Psalm 57. Psalm 57, this is a song I've read numerous times before, but I happen to notice it in relation specifically to the little tag that comes before it. In some Bibles where it gives a little bit of history of when or who wrote it. And this one says that it was a psalm of David when he fled from Saul in the cave. So this would have been a song that David wrote during these days when he's not really seeing the fulfillment or the fruition of the promises that God has made to him. He's not really seeing the fulfillment or the fruition of the calling that he knows God's put on his life, the anointing that's already happened for that calling. This is a hard time for David. This is a long time, quite a few years. It's a dry time, so in some ways, you know, he has to stay more or less on the run for quite a few years. He's not really able to be around most of his family. He's already at this point been separated from his wife, Saul's daughter, who he loved very much, and she loved him very much. Not being able to be with her, not being able to be around his own family, his own home, his own just life. He's a man on the run. He's a man hiding. And in this particular situation, he's hiding from Saul, who's coming out to try to kill him, and he finds himself inside of a cave, and here comes Saul and enters into that very cave and lays down to take a nap. And this is a psalm David wrote, I suppose, after that, because I don't know, unless he began composing it while he was in the cave, but he probably didn't write it down until after. So in Psalm 57, just keep that in mind and in the back of your mind as we read this, that David's not in a successful place in life. David's not in a place in life where he desires to be. He's not in the place in life where he has been working towards and waiting for already quite a bit of time. In fact, he's in a very miserable place. He's running for his life from the king, who's not even legitimately the king anymore because God had said he'd taken the kingdom away from Saul, but Saul's not letting go of it. So David's patiently trying to wait, but also in the process having to run for his life regularly and continuously. So David begins here in Psalm 57. He says, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee." And this was truly David's lifestyle. We see all through this, even when he had the opportunity, even in this moment when he had the opportunity, he could have come out, he could have killed Saul, and that had been the end of that. Yet his attitude was always that he was trusting in God. He was waiting for God. He was relying on God. He was trusting that God knew best. He was trusting that God was still in control. He says, "Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Lord, I'm going to continue to depend on you. I'm going to continue to rest on you. I'm going to continue to trust in you. And I'm going to continue to hide myself and shelter myself in the shadow of your wings and make you my refuge until these calamities be past." In verse 2, he says, "I will cry unto the Lord Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me." He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. And God did, right? He saved him. Absolutely. Miraculously saved him. Saul didn't discover him there hidden in the cave. God shall send forth his mercy and truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue is a sharp sword. We see many times Saul, you know, saying, oh, no, I won't chase you anymore. It's totally fine. You can come back home. And then he just turns around and just lies. You know, it was a lie. He's still, next time he gets an opportunity, he's chasing David down. And David spent most of this time saying, at any chance he got to say anything to Saul, he's saying, why are you chasing me? I don't understand. Why are you chasing me? Because, yes, Saul had found out and had realized David was the king who was supposed to reign on the throne, but David's not coming in there trying to take this over. He's like, why? What have I done? Why are you chasing me? In verse 5, he says, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, in the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. He's beginning to see. He's been talking about how he's in all these calamities, but he's trusting in God, and now he's talking about how he's seeing God move on his behalf. He says, "They, you know, your mercy is above, your glory is above the heavens. Your mercy, your glory is above the clouds." He says, they've prepared to try to catch me, to trip me up, and they fell into the pit they themselves digged. And then he says in verse 7, he says, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will give praise. David's heart, through everything he's gone through everything he knows he's still going to have to go through, no matter what comes his way, David says, my heart is fixed. That means it's settled, it's solid, it's not moving. That everything that goes on around me, no matter what it is, no matter how bad it feels, no matter how bad it seems, everything that is going on around me, when it's all said and done, I will not be moved. My heart will not be moved. I have determined I will trust God. He is the King. He has all power. And therefore, my heart is fixed and I will sing and give praise because I know even in the middle of those situations, God is my helper. I know even in the middle of those situations, nothing has escaped his attention. I know even in the middle of those situations that nothing slipped past him. That everything that is allowed, everything that comes my way, is allowed by his hand, and he knows it. He already knows what's going to happen. He already has it all under control. Nothing surprises him. Nothing slipped by him. Similar kind of idea to what Paul said this morning in Bible study, right? He says, most gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities and my weaknesses because, hey, the power of God will rest upon me, and God does allows things in our life to show that he's in charge. He allows things in our life to show that he's in charge both to us and to those around us. That he's the things that would normally just overwhelm and consume a person trying to walk and live and stand on their own don't overwhelm and consume us completely because of God's strength. And it gives testament and testifies, hey, God's in charge. God has the power. When people look on and they see my life and they see that it's not perfect bed of roses, they see that it's not just easy and that, oh, well, you know, like Satan accused Job of, like, well, of course he loves you because he's never had anything bad happen in his life, right? When those bad things happen, but instead of losing our faith, instead of getting bitter, instead of getting angry, instead of reacting wrongly, we react as David did here and say, no, God's still in charge. I know it looks terrible. I don't know how he's going to solve this. When David ran into that cave and he realizes Saul's coming in, I'm pretty sure he's like, I have no idea how God's going to solve this. How do you get out of this one? But yet, he says, my heart is fixed. I've already predetermined whatever comes my way, whatever changes, whatever difficulties, whatever hardships, whatever temptations, I've already determined, I've already settled, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. I've already determined beforehand, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how much it hurts, no matter how scared I may be, no matter how miserable it may be in any given situation, I've already determined beforehand, before I've gotten there, I will sing and give praise. Many times, brothers and sisters, if we let ourselves wait until we're in that moment to make that decision, we're going to make the decision that is natural human decision, right? It's not natural to sing and give praise when you're in a hardship. It's not natural to sing and give praise when your life is threatened as his was. It's not natural to sing and give praise when it's just on and on and on that you're not seeing the fruition of the things you dream and hope for and the things that you've prayed for and the things that you know God has promised to you and that it's coming, but it's just not coming fast enough, right? It's just not here. And it was a long, long road that David walked, just continuing to trust God. David wouldn't have had the grace and the strength to continue to praise God as we see him do all through the Psalms, even through all those hardships and trials, except that beforehand, he had already determined and he had already settled, and he says, my heart is fixed. This is already a determined fact. I will sing and give praise. I will trust in God. I will wait on him. I will believe and continue to believe that he is in charge, that he is the king, that he knows best, that his will be done, and that he loves me, that he cares for me, that all of these things are bringing glory to his name in some way. They are bringing maturity to me in some way to prepare me for what he has ahead of me. I don't always know what all is being accomplished through the things God allows. But I know he has purposes beyond what I can see. And everything that comes my way, I'm going to take it as from his hand. And I'm determined. I'm already predetermined. My heart is already fixed. And he repeats it because, from my understanding, especially in Hebrew, when you repeat something, it's doubled down. It's the same in our language to a certain extent. If you repeat it, it's like, no, listen, stop, wait a second. I'm not just saying this flippantly, my heart is fixed. No, my heart is fixed. My heart is settled. I will sing praise. I will glorify God. I will exalt his name. Not just when things are going right, and not because things go right, but anyway, in spite of that, I have determined, and my heart is already pre-settled, already pre-fixed. God, I will sing and give praise to you. Because David here recognizes, God, you're worthy of that. Even if every hope and dream of mine fails and falls through, even if I suffer things I really don't want to have to go through, yet I know, God, you are in charge. I know you're the king. I know you're worthy of praise. I know that I wouldn't be sustained even for a moment but for your grace and your mercy. I know I don't deserve any of the blessings that I've already received. And God, my heart is settled. My heart is fixed. He says, he goes on in verse 8, he says, awake up, my glory. Awake up, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. He says, I'm not going to allow myself to become depressed and lethargic and just like, well, someday God's going to fix this whole mess. And until then, I'm just kind of in a holding pattern. I'm just kind of, idling along. And just so many times in our lives when we feel like the hopes and the dreams and the plans aren't progressing as we want, and we feel so surrounded and overcome by difficulties and by hardships, isn't it easy to just not have this response? Isn't it easy to just be like, you know what, I'm just going to take it easy. I'm just going to sleep in a little bit. I just need a little bit of recovery time. You know, I'm just going to wait, and you know, sooner or later it's going to get better. But David says, no, this isn't just a passive, well, I'm not walking away, but I'm just kind of hanging out, waiting for God to move on my behalf. No, he says, this is an intentional choice I've made. I'm going to take my emotions, I'm going to take my heart, I'm going to take my mind by the scruff of the neck, and I'm going to bring them, and I'm going to make them subject to Christ. I'm going to make them raise themselves in praise and adoration to him. He says, I will myself wake up early, wake up my glory, awake psaltery and harp. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. Why? Because everything's going perfect? No. He goes on, he says in verse 10, for thy mercy is great. In spite of the fact that I don't feel like everything's going well in my life right now, yet I know your mercy is great. Unto the heavens and thy truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. David's heart through this time of darkness is God is still good. God is still worthy of praise. And even if I don't feel it, even if I don't always see it, even if it always doesn't feel like, oh, I just, you know what I like to do more than anything when I have a trouble come up is have a worship service, no? But I'm going to anyways. Because he's worthy. Amen. Because he's worthy. He says, God, your mercy is great unto the heavens. It is of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed daily. His mercy, in spite of what difficulties and hardships, and even now, even more for us, looking back and seeing the cross of Calvary, no matter what I suffer, yet it can't even compare to the love that's already been shown that God would send his own son to die for me. You can't ever stack up enough troubles and trials that it outweighs that kind of love and mercy. Even if I never have another good day in my life, what is that in comparison to the eternal God humbling himself and giving himself so that I can spend eternity with him? Even if the rest of my life is miserable, when it's over, I get to go live with him. Even if I don't get another moment's goodness or pleasure or enjoyment down here on this earth, what a paltry loss. When I know when I get there and I stand before him and I will have eternity to be fulfilled with him. I will have eternity to revel in his goodness. I will have eternity with no more tears, no more sorrows, no more hardships, no more difficulties, loved on by God Almighty with none of these calamities, none of these infirmities, none of these weaknesses, none of these hardships. We begin to put that into perspective and we say, yeah, I'm going through a hard time right now. But as David says, your mercy is great unto the heavens. I'm going to sing, I'm going to praise anyways, because these eternal truths, they never change. And those eternal truths are that I am receiving, even if I suffer and struggle every single moment for the rest of my life, I'm already receiving far better than I deserve. And I should be grateful and thankful. This is quoted almost word for word in Psalm 108. He says, oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will wake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth. David's main focus here is God, even if my life is miserable, you're still worthy of praise. And I still want people to know you are worthy. even if I get stomped down in the mud, you're still worthy to be lifted up and exalted and worshiped. This idea of my heart is fixed. That's the thrust of what I want to get at this morning, is my heart is fixed. This is already determined. This is already set, and I will not change it. No matter depending on how I feel, no matter depending what comes down the line and happens to me in this life, my heart is fixed. I'm settled. It's set. I will praise you. I will sing to you because you are worthy no matter what. Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4 has a similar kind of an idea. He says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed. It's the same word, whose mind is stayed on thee. This idea of, hey, you know what? No matter what happens, it's already settled. Well, it's no wonder he says you'll keep him in perfect peace. If you have already settled that and you truly trust God and you say, hey, my mind is stayed on you no matter what winds buffet me, no matter what waves come against me, it's already fixed, it's already settled, that is peaceful. That is peaceful to the point where Isaiah says, it's perfect peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now, as we look further here, I want to point out from several different passages that this settled heart, this fixed heart, this set, stayed mind, it comes from and through the Word of God. Psalm 78, verse 1 through 8, he says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. That's the basis on which he's going to say all these other things now. Give ear to my law. Incline your ears to my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We've already heard the things of God. We have it written down in a book, in the Bible, that we can open and we can read it. We can remember these things. We can study them. He says in verse 4, he says, we will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises. The praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God. Again, that same word, settled, fixed, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation that set not their hearts aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So he's showing both sides here. He says, this is the purpose. We're going to make sure that we're teaching the Word because the Word is what sets and establishes the heart. Amen. And he says, if your heart is set and established and you don't forget the works of God, but you keep his commandments, he says, don't be like those who've come before us so many times. We read in Scripture, it can be heartbreaking as we read the frailty of mankind, right? And how prone we are to walk away. The stubborn and the rebellious things that humanity does against God and not, he says, a generation that set not their hearts aright. They didn't predetermine this. And so guess what? We see it again and again. They run out of water and immediately they're complaining, they're fussing, they're, Moses, you might as well have just killed us back in Egypt. There's no reason for us to come out here. Why did you even bring us out here? God's not on our side anymore. Everything's going against us. And we see that again and again down through, not just with the children of Israel in the wilderness, but just again and again down through Scripture. And I see this again and again in my life, that my tendency is to, when troubles and hardship come, again and again, isn't my heart so prone to say, man, I just throw in the towel. It's just over. I'm done with this. It's not working. It's not. It says they have not set their hearts aright, and their spirit was not steadfast with God. And it consumed them. It destroyed them. We see the children of Israel going into captivity for 70 years because they wouldn't follow God. We see people messing up their lives daily around us, destroying themselves because they won't follow God. They won't trust Him. They won't lean on Him. How many times we've seen dear Christians, dear brothers and sisters, completely fall away from the faith, at least for a time, because of a family member who died, or because of some hardship that came along, because their heart wasn't already set that no matter what comes my way, God is still God. He's still the King. I still will praise Him. He's still worthy of my worship. He's still worthy of my praise. He's still good. And I have fixed and settled and set my heart that I will not be moved no matter what comes my way. Deuteronomy 32, verse 46 and 47, he says, and he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which she shall command your children to observe, to do all the words of this law, for it is not a vain thing for you. It's going to pay off in the end. It's not a vain thing for you because it is your life. That's quite some strong and direct language. He says, it's not in vain for you. Don't allow yourself or the enemy to come along and say, hey, you know what? This serving God isn't worth it. I'm struggling along. I'm doing all these things. So many times it's easy to look around and be like, well, everybody else seems to be having it better than me, and they aren't following God. He says, it is not in vain. It is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing, ye shall prolong your days in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. It's not in vain to serve the Lord. He says, set yourselves, set your hearts unto all the words of God. It's going to be worth it. We sing the song, it'll be worth it. After we see Jesus, when we see Jesus, it will be worth it all. Psalm 112, the first verse, he sets the precedent. He says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. That's the precedent then on which in verse 6 through 8, he says, surely he shall not be moved forever. Boy, that's a solid foundation, isn't it? Surely he will not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. What does that come from? Verse 1, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. He says he shall not be moved forever. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. He won't be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. There's coming a day when all of our struggling and all of our trials and all of our difficulties are going to be over. We're going to receive the reward of living for Christ. We're going to stand before Him, and in spite of the fact that He did all of it, He's going to say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because you stayed faithful. In spite of all the difficulties and the hardships that came your way, you stayed faithful. And it's not just that eternal reward. It's the day-to-day blessings of the fact that he says you're not going to be fearful and afraid all the time because you're trusting in God and your heart is fixed. It's settled. I want to end with a couple verses in Colossians chapter 3. I could probably all quote it together. Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 3. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I challenge myself and I challenge you this morning, today, tomorrow, as you go through your life, make sure your heart is fixed. Make sure your mind is stayed. Make sure your affections are set. It will carry you through. What does Moses say? It's your life. It's your life. It's not going to be in vain. This is your life. Set. My heart is set. My heart is fixed, O God. I will sing and praise your name. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you that you are so worthy of our adoration and our praise and our worship, that no matter what comes our way, you've already done far, far more than we could ever deserve. You've already poured out and lavished love on us that blows our mind, that's beyond comprehension. And Father, help us to remind ourselves of those things. Help us to rest our hearts, to settle our hearts, to fix this determination beforehand that no matter what comes my way, God is still worthy of all praise and worship and adoration. And my heart is fixed that I will trust Him, I will praise Him, I will follow Him and lean on Him because He's worthy of all of that. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be challenged this morning, would be drawn close, Lord, that we would settle this and set this once and for all in our minds and our hearts, that you sit on the throne, that you're the King, and I will praise you. I will sing to you. I will lift up and exalt you because you are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.